Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and happy Thursday to everyone. This is Veronica McMillan, your host of Issues Concerning Women, the radio show. I am so happy that we have this opportunity to discuss great topics again. I have a great guest that I'm going to be bringing on in just a few minutes. But before I bring her on, let me just tell you a little bit about Issues Concerning Women. Issues Concerning Women basically is the brainchild of my co-host Francine Humphrey. Issues Concerning Women focuses on women and their families reaching long and short-term goals and assisting them in the areas of business, career, housing, finance, and life skills. And, of course, I'm Veronica McMillan, the president and founder of the Micro Nonprofit Network. We help small nonprofit organizations become foundationally strong through education, coaching, mentoring, and program development for 501c3 organizations. Hanging on the line, I'm going to bring her on in just a second, is a young lady I've been knowing for a moment, and I've been trying to get her on. I'm so blessed that we got Ms. Tierney Parker, the founder of Funding an Empire. Ms. Tierney, I am going to say hello to you, and can you say hello to the listening audience, ma'am?
Hello, everyone.
I said at the onset, I've been trying to get you for a minute, and then you and I were together at an event last month, and I had the opportunity to pin you down to this radio show. So I'm so happy because I know it's a godsend for me to connect with you again. And, I got so much that I want to ask you. And so tonight what we're going to do, listening audience, Tierney has a wealth of knowledge, and I want her to be able to just go with this. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to hold all questions, and we're going to dedicate this whole 30 minutes to Tierney for her to explain what she does, who she is, what's going on, for her to connect, for you all to connect with her as well. So Tierney, can you just basically just tell them a little bit about who you are, what you're doing, and we'll just kind of go from there.
Well, my name is Tierney Parker, and I am the founder of Funding an Empire, which is a organization in which I write books. I do coaching one-on-one with people who are trying to get to the next level financially, but they just need accountability and they need someone to kind of help them understand where their holes are, why they have holes in their pockets, so to speak. And so I also do speaking engagements from that business as well. So that's one of the hats that I wear. And then my other hat, which is interchangeable, is I'm a financial professional with a firm here in Virginia Beach.
Wonderful. And for those of you all who listen every week, you know I always say the same thing. This is technology driven, and so basically if anything happens, we'll come back on the air because we're using phones and internet and all of that stuff. If power go out, we're always in that situation. But this was such a great topic, and I've been wanting to have you on, Tierney, for a while. But before we jump into that, can you give them your handles, where they can connect with you, your telephone, whatever it is that you want them to know, because this audience that we have, I'm thankful to God for the fact that it's a broad audience. It's not just here in the United States. It's around the world, and we thank God for that. And so how would they connect with you, Tierney?
Absolutely. Well, my Facebook page is Funding an Empire. My website is fundingandempire.com. My email address is fundingandempire@gmail.com or info@fundingandempire.com. Or they can actually reach out to me with just a phone call, to be honest with you, 757-816-0253.
Wonderful. And we'll have tyranny to give that information again and again over in this 30 minutes, because again, this 30 minutes goes so quickly. And so I want to jump right in, Tyranny, with what I was saying to you. And if you hear any interruptions, my telephone, they're trying to force me into getting another cell phone. And so sometimes my phone goes in, sometimes it goes out, but hey, all is well. We keep it rolling. In our workshop that we were in, you did a fabulous job, and I really want to lead with that particular question. You talked about that mindset, that thought. Can you speak about the mindset for financial management? Because that was just so powerful, and I want them to kind of get a snippet of what you meant in that conference that we were in. So can you just go and talk a little bit about what you said?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, true empowerment comes from having the wisdom and revelation that money is just a tool that we control. And basically, a lot of us don't understand that money is a tool, and that, you know, we have this tool in our hands to allocate it to places where we want to help us to expand and multiply and do what we need to do in order to reach our goals, whether they're business goals or financial goals, or, you know, they could even be a family goals. But basically, my emphasis is on the fact that every one of us needs to understand that we have an empire. And that our empire could be a business, it could be a professional career, it could be a ministry, a military career, and even a family. Consistently and efficiently funding that empire is the key. So it's like every day when we're actually making financial decisions, that's contributing to either leading us towards lack or towards increase in building our empire. So understanding that you have an empire, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's what you do with what you make. So I often use this quote, which I love very much, and it's from Bradley Benson, and it says, "Money is a tool. Used properly, it makes something beautiful. Used wrong, it makes a mess." And that is a true statement. Because your mental and emotional connection with money will determine how high you go in regards to reaching your financial goals or how much you increase. You know, a lot of us keep hitting that ceiling, and we don't understand why we're hitting that ceiling. And it all has to do with, well, one of the key things it has to do with is the way we relate to money, whether we have a healthy relationship or not. So basically, in shaping, you know, your financial destiny, your mindset change, that is foundational. I'm going to give you an example. I acquired a lot of financial knowledge. I mean, I was in the financial industry, and even before that, you know, I used to read a lot of financial books. But it seemed like no matter how much I read or how much knowledge I acquired, I still was making the same financial mistakes over and over again, and I couldn't understand why. Where was it coming from? And so I took a look back at my first interactions with money, which is with my parents, or shall I say my mother, because I was raised by a single mother, and she did an excellent job. You know, she taught us the importance, me and my four siblings, the importance of getting a good education and getting a good job. That was her focus. You get a good education and you'll get a good job. But she didn't, you know, account for the fact that the economy may change and everyone are basically looking for a good job with a good education, and they're not achieving that. And so she didn't teach me about how to build and maintain credit. She didn't teach me how to, or actually say the cost of debt, you know, getting into debt, the responsibility of having debt. She didn't teach me, you know, about life insurance, the importance of that, about saving, nor did she teach me about investing. And it's not her fault. We're not, you know, I'm not creating a movement where we're blaming our parents, because
yes.
a lot of us are parents. So we're not creating a movement, but what I'm trying to emphasize is that those first interactions that I had with money, where I watched my mother live paycheck to paycheck, was actually ingrained in me. And so
yes.
I thought living paycheck to paycheck was the norm. I mean, didn't everybody do it?
That's
and
right.
That is not the case. So
yeah.
and I thought that just having enough was okay. That, you know, I just need to reach for a education and a job versus starting my own business. I would have loved for her to have said, you can start your own business. You can not only have a job, actually have multiple streams of income. But how can you teach something you don't know? So that's why I say that we can't blame our parents, because a lot of them were raised in homes where money was a secret. No one ever talked about it. It was, you know, we don't talk about that, and we don't talk about sex. You can talk about anything else but those two subjects, and hopefully you'll figure it out on your own. But that should not be the case. That should not be the case. And so what I learned subconsciously by observing her actually hindered me financially when I got out into the world and started making my own money and realizing that, you know, I'm just, you know, living for the now. That was my thing. I'm living for today. You know, I don't have time to save. I don't have time to invest. What is a retirement account? I might not even live long enough to enjoy that.
Exactly.
I mean, that was my mindset, which was very off, because a lot of us are living well into our 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and we're finding out that what we didn't start when we were younger, we kind of wish we had. So that's my focus and helping people understand that, first of all, it's never too late. Even if you hadn't started in your 20s or your 30s, it's never too late. You can start today. But not just start with changing your financial destiny, but that of your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, those that you influence that are around you. That's the key.
That's the key.
And having knowledge is not enough. We should teach our children the knowledge, but we should also give them practical, teachable moments when in regards to money. You know,
exactly.
I wish I would have taken my kids to the grocery store and had them compare prices, so that today, now they just go and pick out the first thing they see. So now I have to retrain them, saying, don't do that. You know, compare. So that's just one thing. So I'm learning that. You know, you can begin again. Our past financial mistakes does not define us. We can actually pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and change the way we think about money starting today. Will it be a process? Absolutely. Will it take time? Maybe. But it's worth the time. It's worth the time investing in you. Understanding that you have the ability to create your own financial destiny. It is in your hands, no one else's, and it begins with the way you relate to money.
Wow, that right there, that's a whole show all in of itself. I mean, you could spend an hour just having that and talking about that, because my mind was going on, was all over the place as you was talking. I thought about listening to Susie Orman some years ago, and I remember her saying, "What was your earliest money memory?" And you know what I mean. And then I started thinking about that stuff, and then I thought about maybe about two. I want to say it's about 2 weeks ago that I was just riding along in the car, and I sort of kind of heard in my spirit that basically that your mind is the womb. And that the information that comes into your mind is the sperm that gives birth to new thoughts, through new actions, through new things that you need to do. And I was like, oh, God. It's
wow.
So important that we change that mindset, because, again, I wasn't thinking my mind is being a womb where it's giving birth to something, and that the information that's coming in is the sperma that I give birth to, or they give, or you give birth to, through the thoughts that you do, through the actions and the things that you say. And so all of those things were going on in my mind as you was talking about that, because I think that you're so right in terms of, we do live from, you know, from that past experience that we had, what our parents did. We do the same thing and have no rhyme or reason as to why we do it. We just know that this is our culture. And, you know, I've had family members die and did not have insurance. And then we all kind of running around trying to figure, okay, you put $100, you put $200. Like, we got to do something different. And so, I mean, again, I got so many things I just wanted to ask you, but I'm going to move to my next question because, again, that's why I'm not taking any questions, because I knew this was going to be one of those conversations that was, I may not even get to all my questions, but let me just get to this one. When should a person start to save? Because you mentioned a minute ago, Tyranny, about that savings and stuff, but when should a person start to save?
A person should start to save as soon as they have an income. So, and I'm going to be honest with you, even before that. So let's say our children were getting allowances, or they were getting money, birthday, Christmas money from family members. We should be teaching them at an early age how to save some of that money. I would go with the 10% rule, you know, get into their minds while they're young. Pay yourself 10% first, and you put that aside, and then you can use the remainder of that money to just, you know, buy whatever you want, or you can split it up in threes where you can have money for yourself, 10% for savings that you won't touch, 10% for investing or putting that into something that is interest-bearing. Even as children, they can learn about going to a bank. Now, I know banks don't give great interest rates on a money in a savings account. We all know that. But they can, you can start with them with that and then move them up to maybe custodial accounts with at investment firms. But once it starts with the children, then you can move on to the young adults, and you can move on to those who just got that first job and that money is coming in. The first thing they need to think about is paying myself. How much am I going to set aside? And then how much I'm going to set aside for my retirement and savings? And if they have not been bombarded with bills, meaning they have not stepped out on that ledge and started acquiring bills and debts, then they're in a good place to start that habit, that good habit of saving and that good habit of paying themselves first. But, you know, as we all know, student loan debt is just choking the life out of so many of us.
Yes.
So you need to account for that as well. But whatever your debt is, you should still aim to pay yourself first. That's why your debt should be as minimal as possible.
I wish I'd have known that. I wish I'd have known you some years ago. but I now know
that.
You. And so,
yeah.
And so
but
because I think it'd be This is that stuff that I think we need to literally have. And I was thinking, again, this has been something I've been thinking about, is really going back and having an investment club where you have three or four people get together, talk about investments, and having somebody that can steer us. Because, you know, because oftentimes what I know is important is that you got the right people around you giving you the right information, because many of us have been led down a bunny trail listening to our cousins or somebody who's been to school 2 minutes and telling us something crazy, and then got us off, and then our level of trust wanes because, you know, we realize, oh, my God, I've done all of this. And then the other piece of that is that I think what happens is people like, if I just give my tithes and offerings, everything going to be good. God just going to bless me, and I don't need to be doing all that stuff. And then you look up, and this to all of my people in the church, I'm not blaming, shame, or anything in the church, but what I have to say is that church does a wonderful job of asking you for money, but it does a really poor job in terms of teaching you how to invest, what to do, what tithes and offerings is about, how to say. They do a very poor job at that. And then when it goes bad, then we're looking real crazy. And so that's really something that I really want to do. And I'll talk offline to you about that tyranny. But here's something that I want to say. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you actually brought up a very hot topic, because I often run into a lot of people who do tithe. I'm a tither. I've tithed faithfully, mm-hmm. and so have a lot of people that I know. They've tithed faithfully. And you're right. We tithe with the 10%, but what are we doing with the 90%? That's where we are not having the knowledge or the tools to be able to understand that the 90%, I'm going to be honest with you, should also be stewarded just as well as that 10%. So that, you know, the Word of God talks a lot about money. It's over 2,000 scriptures in the Word about money and planning and financial increase in regards to not giving a loan to someone, you know, who, you know, cannot pay you back, and all, you know, getting into debt and not being a slave to the lender. I mean, there's so many scriptures, you know, and planning, being that ant that plants, you know, and so planning is very important, but we don't hear about those scriptures. The only scripture that we hear about is Malachi 3:10.
Yep.
You know, that, you know, we need to give bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that they'll be meat for our house. And that is what we should do. Please don't, you know, misunderstand me. I believe in giving God what is due him, because he is the one that has allowed me to do what I do and be the person that I am. And I you know, so I believe in that, but I also believe that the 90%, that's where we've gone wrong. We've tithed faithfully, but yet the 90%, we've lived above our means. We've gotten into great debt. You know, we mismanage poorly. We're not allocating our money where it should be because of that mindset. We've not been taught that we control our money, not the other way around.
That's exactly right. I'm in such agreement with you again that this could be a 2-hour show, but it's not, and we're coming down real quick to the end. And I want to get a couple of more questions in here before we have to leave tonight. Is there an amount, tyranny, that someone can start investing with? Because I think what happens, there's that myth that you got to have a lot of money to start investing, and I think that has to go away too, because again, we'll talk ourselves right out of something that we can get started. And as you said at the onset, you can get started now. Is there an amount that a person can say, listen, I'm hearing this show, I hear Miss Tyranny, and now I want to get started. Is there an amount, a small amount that a person can get started with?
Absolutely, and you're absolutely right. There is a great myth out there. Do you know that anyone can actually start an investment account with just $50 a month? That's it. You can start an IRA with just $50 a month. That's the minimum. Now, of course, you can put in a lot more, but the minimum is $50. Mm-hmm. So that's why a lot of people are hindered, because they don't realize it is not a great substantial amount to start investing. It's consistency, it's discipline, and it's when you start with that $50, increasing it maybe in another 6 months to a year to maybe $75, and then increasing it again a year later to $100, because you don't want to stay at the $50. But if you want to just start, $50 is your minimum.
Yeah. See, that's just wonderful. Now, come on now. For those of you all who are listening, you've heard Tyranny say this. And again, you know, what we're trying to do is bring relevant information that can change your lives right where you are. If she's saying $50, you have, and again, not shaming, not blaming, But if you're in your 40s and your 50s and $50 is hard to come by, something is really wrong, and you're going to have to get that right information. You're going to have to abort the things that came into the womb of your mind and now let new information, new sperma come into your mind so that you know what to do. Because $50 is not a whole bunch of money to get started to help you to do what you got to do. I wish someone had told me that years ago. I learned that some years ago and then made some stupid mistakes, and here I am now starting all over again as well. And now, you know, just making sure that taking the information that tyranny gives us and the information that we've learned from life experience and using that. And so we have really got to get started. Tyranny, we're getting close to the end, girl. What is your number one tip or advice that you would say to all of the people who are listening on this call that they need to get to do to start this whole process? What's your number one tip?
My number one tip is that procrastination is your enemy. It is your biggest enemy, and that every financial decision that you make, and we make between 3 to 6 financial decisions on a daily basis, you know, where to get coffee, how much to increase our retirement accounts, where to go for lunch. But every financial decision you make is either leading you towards lack or increase. You have to understand that. So every decision that you make, you need to ask yourself that question. When I swipe this card, is this decision that I'm making, is this leading me towards lack or increase? If it's leading you towards lack, and it's seemingly every time you ask yourself that question, it's lack that's the answer, then you need to change the way you deal with money. You need to change the fact that maybe, you know, you're having some issues with money management or budgeting, or you just don't understand, you know, where your money is going, which has to do with those two things I just mentioned. Or maybe debt. Whatever it is, find out where it is that you're lacking, where it is that's what's hindering you. Know your triggers. That's another thing. Well, a lot of us, we have triggers that we are unaware of. My biggest thing was when I was the happiest, that's when I wanted to spend money. Other things could be when they're sad, when they're lonely, when they're depressed, or when they're angry. They find themselves in a store spending. So that would be another aspect of that question. Know your triggers. And once you know your triggers, put into place a plan that you, when you're faced with those triggers, what is my step in stopping that action? How do I stop myself from actually doing what I really want to do, which is spend?
Tyranny, we're down to our last 2 minutes. Can you give your handles, every way that they can contact you out once more before we have to go off the air? This 30 minutes is never enough, but go ahead, Tyranny.
Well, as I said before, you can contact me at fundingandempire.com, which is my website, or Funding and Empire on Facebook. I also have a email address, fundingempire@gmail.com, or info@fundingempire.com, or you can just call me, which is 757-816-0253.
Wonderful. And if you need to connect with Francine Humphrey, the Director of Issues Concerning Women, you can go to the website at www.issuesconcerningwomen.org. And, of course, if you need to connect with me, Veronica McMillan, www.micrononprofitnetwork.com. It has just been a pleasure. Tyranny, it's just never enough time. I'm a serious tyranny about being able to have this investment club. I've been thinking about it for a while. I said, just 3 or 4 women, you know, we can get together and have this information. So for those of you all out here, Tyranny Parker, Funding an Empire. She has books, the website, everything that you need to know. Tyranny, give them one word, and then we're going to get up out of here, and we're thanking God for just another week. One word.
Oh, gosh. One word is a sentence. Define your own definition of wealth. That's all
wonderful.
To say. Your own definition.
Your own definition of wealth, and we will end the show with that statement. You all have to find your own definition of wealth, but again, understanding that not just the knowledge, but what you got to do is you got to put that knowledge to work and then find your triggers. And know that once you can do that, you're on your way. And then you want to connect with Ms. Tyranny so that you can have somebody who has the knowledge that can help mentor, coach, and train you. It has been an absolute blessing, Tyranny, talking with you. We're going to have to talk again. I'm hoping to see you in the future. And for those of you all who listen to Issues Concerning Women, the radio show, we thank you so very much. Have a blessed night, Tyranny. Have a blessed night, radio audience. Good night now. Bye-bye now.